Why don't we stand and let's go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And we'll begin reading in verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, but could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. He had a seizure. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I believe, help thou my unbelief. Verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And I want to go back to that father's words, and that's what I want to preach to us about tonight. I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. Amen. Let's pray that God would just have his way in every heart here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your moving of your spirit. Thank you, God, for your touch. Thank you for what you're doing in this city, in this church. I thank you, Lord, for people that are being delivered. I thank you, God, for new life. I thank you for hope. Lord, people that haven't had hope, they're finding hope at the foot of the cross. I praise you for what you're doing. I thank you, Lord, that we get to be a part of your kingdom and your work. I pray that your will be done in this house. We submit to your will, to your purpose, to your plan. We submit to your word. We submit to your spirit, Lord. We resist the devil. And he will flee. In Jesus' name, we pray against every spirit that would exalt itself against the Holy Ghost. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for the authority that you've given us to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. In Jesus' name, Lord, we rejoice in that. But, Lord, we rejoice even more that our name is written in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, you're wonderful. You deserve the glory. You deserve the praise, Lord. You deserve all the honor. There is no God like you. There's no God beside you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Too good to be true. Something that seems too good to be true. We've all learned to be skeptical when things seem too perfect. Well, I'm going to make $50,000 a week. How much you got to work? Well, I can work from home. I just sell some stuff on Amazon, and hey, there are some people making it, but most of those reels that you see on the internet are too good to be true. Too good to be true. I've had times that I looked at a car, and man, the pictures looked good. They looked great, and I thought, this is it. Man, the price is low. This car is just clean. And I got there, and it was too good to be true. It was too good to be true. How many times have we got our hopes up about something, and when we got into it, we realized, you know what? I should have trusted my instincts because this is too good to be true. What's the catch? You know, we want to know, what's the catch here? Surely this is not as good as it seems, because too many times we've fallen for something that seemed too good to be true. The Father in our story today, he said, I believe, help my unbelief. His unbelief was not a rebellion against the Lord. It was not a rejection of the promises of God. He did not deny what God could do. It just seemed too good to be true. And so he said, help my unbelief. Actually, for him to be able to say that, help my unbelief, it shows that he had faith. He had faith, because if he had no faith, he would not have even been aware of the struggle in his life where unbelief was trying to creep in. But as soon as we get a little faith, that's when we become conscious of our struggle with unbelief. Think about everything this father had gone through. He'd watched his boy over the years as he had suffered from this condition. And as a father, he suffered along with his son every time a seizure came. Knowing that his son could never live a normal life, that was a heavy burden to bear. No doubt every night that good man prayed for his boy. God, help my son. Deliver him. Save him. I'm sure he had spent, or he had saved every dollar he could and had spent it in the hope that he could find a cure. But everything they tried had just ended up with more disappointment. But still, he was not bitter. He still had faith, even with everything they'd gone through. And that's why he brought him to Jesus. Now, the disciples tried their best, but they too had failed. Even though they'd been mightily used by God, they were not able to cast the devil out. And so even with all of these disappointments, the man still wanted to believe. But he'd come to the place where he was so exhausted. He was so tired of dealing with it. He needed almost as much help as his son needed. Can anybody understand that? Have you been there? And he'd not given up completely, even though he'd not seen the answer to his prayers. He had not turned his back on God. He wasn't ready to quit trying. Something inside him was pushing him forward with faith. But he just realized he was struggling. And he was honest with Jesus. He was honest with the Lord. He had a weak faith that needed to be made stronger. I just feel like somebody here tonight has come, and you need God to work a miracle. And it's not that you don't have faith. You've got faith in God, but you've just been struggling. You've just been struggling, and it seems like everything you've tried, it hasn't worked it out yet, and so you're here. But you've got faith in God, and it's not that you don't believe God can do it, but you just kind of wonder, will he do it? And so sometimes we struggle with our faith. Our faith is weak at times, and it needs to be made stronger. It's not that we don't love God. It's not that we don't believe his word. It's not that we don't claim his promises. But sometimes the doubt starts coming, and our faith is weak. We need to get this here tonight. Nobody believes perfectly. At times we all have questions. Moments where we wonder, God, what are you up to? Do you understand my situation, Lord? There's times when doubt will come fleeting through our mind and our faith will struggle. And in every person we go through times where there's a mixture of faith and doubt. There's a mixture there. But the important thing is this: do we let ourselves be controlled by our faith or by our doubt? That's the key. Are we going to be controlled by our faith or by our doubt? Miracles don't happen just because we have perfect faith and because we've never had to deal with doubt. But no, miracles come because we have faith in a perfect Savior. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. I struggle. You struggle. Sometimes my faith is weak. Sometimes your faith is weak. But the reason why we see miracles is because we have faith in a perfect God. Come on, He's perfect. He's perfect. God is perfect. His ways are perfect. His methods are perfect. His timing is perfect. His purpose is perfect. And even though our faith may be weak, but we stretch our faith to take hold of the promise from a Savior who's perfect, and that's when miracles happen. Somebody tonight needs to realize God is perfect. He's not late. His timing is perfect. His plan is perfect. The will of God is perfect. So let's reach out in faith and say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Matthew tells this same story, although a little different from Mark. Let's read Matthew chapter 17 and verse 18. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Why could they not cast him out? Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief." Their unbelief had taken over their faith. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, a little faith can accomplish great things. What matters most is what our faith is in. What is the object of our faith? Are we trusting in our ability? Are we depending on our own strength? Are we looking to human understanding? Sometimes we reason ourselves out of the miracle because we approach things with everything we know, everything we've learned, everything we've been taught from human understanding. Sometimes something that someone said to us back in the day somewhere, some maybe well-meaning person, but they were off, and they said something, and we received that into our spirit, and so now every time we want to believe for a miracle, that thought comes back to us. Well, you can never overcome that. You're going to be a failure. You're going to be this. You're going to be that. It was a word that was spoken to us, and perhaps someone spoke it in anger or at a moment that they weren't thinking, but that it resonated with us. And now every time we reach out for a miracle, we're limited by that memory and what we know and what we've experienced. But our little faith can accomplish big things when the object of our faith is Jesus. Just a small amount of faith. How many of you ever seen a picture of a mustard seed? We used to, you know, show that in preaching. Maybe I need to show you how big a mustard seed is compared. I remember my dad went to Israel and came back and had a bag full of mustard seeds, and they were just little tiny little seeds. And the faith, as small as the very small mustard seed, that small amount of faith can bring about great things when we put that little faith in the great and mighty God. I feel in my spirit today that God wants somebody to get your eyes off of everything else and start looking to the Lord. See, we start measuring things. We measure everything else except for God. We get so focused on how big the mountain is, how horrible our situation is, how big and bad the devil we're fighting seems. And then we look at how little faith we've got. It seems so small compared to the mountain. The problem is so big compared to our little faith. But we're measuring the wrong thing. We've got to look to Jesus. He's the one who's able. Hallelujah. He's the one is able. Oh, we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Not only is Jesus the author of our faith, but he's the finisher of it too. Praise the Lord. Philippians 1 and 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I've come to tell you tonight, God has started something good in you. He's not finished yet, but he's still working. He's still moving. He's still working. Jesus was with us at the starting line. He's going to be with us all the way through the finish. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Come on, somebody. You might not be where you want to be yet, but God's working. God's moving. God's opening doors. God's making a way. Keep trusting the Lord. Keep walking by faith. Come on. You know that God has started you on your journey, but he's going to keep you through the end. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we look at where we are compared to the finish line. We think, wow, will I ever get there? Will I ever get there? But if God has started some things in us, if he's brought us out of darkness, if he's blessed our life, if he's filled us with his spirit, if he's washed our sins away, if he's done great things in our life, he's not going to leave us now. Just because we're going through a storm does not mean that he can't keep us. Just because we're walking through a trial right now does not mean that the Lord is not in control. In fact, if God has allowed the trial, if God has allowed the storm, there's a reason behind it all. We get in the middle of a trial, and the only thing we can think of is, how do I escape from this? We go into a storm, and how can we make the storm stop? But God doesn't think about it like that. He is saying, in the middle of this trial, I'm going to teach some things. I'm going to bring you through. I'm going to make you stronger. I'm going to increase your faith. Hallelujah. Just because we're going through something does not mean that God has forgotten about us. But in fact, he probably allowed this for a reason. We may not ever know the reason for sure, but we can have faith that he'll see us through. He that began a good work in you will complete it. God's word tells us that God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. The measure of faith. How many of you know how to cook? Try to cook? Wish you knew how to cook? Okay. Well, I remember taking home ec. I don't know what they call it now. They used to call it home ec. And they taught us how to cook. And this one guy, he was a little prideful, thought he was going to be a great cook, and he got the salt mixed up with the sugar. Okay, I mean, something simple like that. Hello. And it was horrible. It was horrible. He got the wrong measuring cup for the wrong thing. And when you're going to measure, you want to make sure you follow the directions and get the right amount. Well, God gets his measuring cup, and he measures out how much faith we're going to need. God knows how much faith we're going to need to do what he's called us to do. God has faith in you. So somebody, turn to somebody and tell them, God has faith in you. That's why he's called us. That's why we're at the place we're at this time, at this place, in these circumstances, because God has faith that we can make it through this. He wouldn't let us go through something that we couldn't make it through. And he has dealt to every man the measure of faith. He's got his measuring cup of faith, and for every person, it's a different measure. It's a different measure, but he knows how much we need, and so he's measured it off, and he's given us the measure of faith. God knows how much faith we're going to need, and he's given it to us. That measurement's different for different people, but it's enough for us each to face what we're going to have to go through in life. How comforting to know that God, in his mercy and his grace, has already seen everything we're going to face, every battle we're going to fight. He's already taken account into to spiritual warfare, and he's already looked at the mountains and the valleys and every struggle and every temptation and every circumstance, and he's took time to measure out the amount of faith that we're going to need to take us through. God's already added it all up, and he knows they need this much faith, and so I'm going to give them faith. You can face what you're going through because God gave you the faith to see it. You can come through this because God has already placed faith inside of you. We're going to win in the end because God's already studied our situation and he's given us the faith we need. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Remember that old song? Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. You don't need a whole lot. Just use what you got. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. God's given us the measure of faith. We don't need a whole lot, but we've got to use what we've got. Somebody put your faith to work. Somebody take a step of faith. Come on. It can be scary. I know taking a step of faith, it can be a little scary, but it's so rewarding. It's not faith in our ability. It's faith in God. It's faith in God. Stop letting fear hold you back, but embrace the faith that God has given you and say, I'm going to take a step of faith. I don't understand exactly what's going on, but I feel like God has given me the faith to make it through this trial, to make it through this battle, and I want to see what God is going to do. I want to see what God has prepared. I want to see what kind of miracle God has already put into motion for me. Hallelujah. Somebody put your faith to work. It's faith in God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. God's given us the measure of faith. We've got enough, but we've got to put it to work. Somebody needs to stand on the word of God. You need to let his power work. And you stop trusting in man's ability. It's impossible for man, but nothing is impossible for God. Praise the Lord. Now, faith is like a muscle. And I've used this example before, but our faith doesn't get stronger when we don't work it out. We don't work that muscle out. Okay? I'm a big workout person myself, you know. And, you know, I like to show the boys who can really lift and, you know, all of that. I do work out a little bit. Emphasis on little bit. But I try to do enough to kind of get my heart rate up every once in a while, and so I'm not, you know, totally out of shape. There's something, though, about the muscle. I don't know all the way it's constructed, how God made it, but there's something about that muscle. If it's relaxed, it's not growing. In fact, as soon as you stop using those muscles, they start deteriorating. when you use the muscles and you're pushing past your limits, it's almost like there's a tear that happens. And it's that process of working those muscles and pushing them past their limits and almost some damage that's being done. You don't want to damage them too hard, but you want to push them. And then they get stronger and they heal and they get better. And then you can do more than what you did before. It's the same way with faith. If you've gone through a trial lately, I want to encourage you. Or if you're in a trial, I want to encourage you. You're going to come through this trial. And you'll be stronger so that you can go through another trial. I know that's not what you want to hear. I know you don't want to think about that. But that's the process of living for the Lord. God takes us through things that prepare us for the next storm, that prepare us for the next battle. We're in training. Somebody tell somebody, you're in training. You're in training. Come on. You're in training for warfare. You're in training for the work of God. This is the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. In a spiritual battle, there's got to be a working out of our spiritual muscles, so to speak. In times that we go to prayer and we pray like we never prayed before, so that we're growing in prayer. There's times we fast and pray. There's times we sacrifice and pray. There's times that we don't feel it in our emotions. This is the last thing we want to do, is to come to church and to worship God. We'd rather stay home and cry about our situation, but we're working out our faith. And so we get dressed and we get in the car and we come to church and we come through the doors and we lift up our hands and say, Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy. I've got to get my eyes on you, Jesus. I've got to stop thinking about my trouble. I got to stop thinking of all of the stuff going on. And I'm looking to you, Jesus. I'm working out my faith. Hallelujah. Some of you are called to a level of faith that you've not reached yet. Some of you, God has given you the measure of faith, but you've gone idle. You've let it sit on, and you're just sitting on the couch. You're waiting for stuff to happen. God said, get up and use your faith. Get up and work out your faith. Get up and do something that doesn't make sense, but you're going to do it and praise God through the middle of the storm. God has called you. He's given you a level of faith that you're not using, that you're not working with. Praise the Lord. Let's step up. I just kind of feel like if we get to a place that we step beyond the level of faith God has given us, God will honor our faith and give us more faith. He'll strengthen our faith. Look at this struggle and people in the Bible that had this same struggle between faith and unbelief. Peter knew this struggle. Let's read in Matthew chapter 14, verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Peter had enough faith to get out of the boat and walk on water. Now Jesus said, O thou of little faith. I want to tell you, however much faith Peter had, that's a crazy level of faith. Okay. Now, I've tried it. You know, we've been on a kayak trip or something, and I thought, well, let's see here how spiritual I am. And well, none of the other disciples had faith enough to get out of the boat. But Peter's little faith let him walk on the water. And so he's there walking on the waves and in the storm, and he sees how the wind's blowing, and he sees all of this chaos around, and he was afraid. Now, he's doing something supernatural because he had faith enough to get out of the boat, only to start sinking when unbelief set in. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. help my unbelief. God has done some marvelous things in some of your life. There's been miracles. There's been signs and wonders. There's things that have happened that you know it was the hand of God upon your life. But sometimes we come up against another situation and we forget. We forget all that God has done, and so unbelief starts to rise. We've got a little faith, but then unbelief starts to take it over. Right now, we need to say, God, I believe, help my unbelief. What about Thomas? John 20 and 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. What was Thomas saying? I want to believe, but it just seems too good to be true. I've got to see it for myself. There was a measure of faith that was there, but his faith was struggling. And a few days later, Jesus appears to them. He shows up in the room that they're in. The doors were all closed, but here all of a sudden Jesus is. John 20 and 27, then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Somebody here tonight, that's talking to you. We've not seen Jesus Christ in the flesh yet. We've not seen his body yet. Amen. He's going to have a different body, but we've not seen that with our eyes, but yet we believe. And God, Jesus said, blessed are they which have not seen but have believed. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Praise the Lord. I want you to be praying with me about something. Last week, a pastor in Nixa that I've come to know on the ministerial alliance there called me and said, hey, I want to go to lunch with you. Yesterday, we went to lunch. He began to tell me a little bit about their situation, and it's a smaller church. In the last few months, they've had several people that have moved for jobs and school and just different things, and so their numbers have gone down so far. And here's what he said. He said, I don't want to just close the church, but he said, we can't continue any longer. And he said, I want you to consider taking over our facility. They rent a storefront building. It seats about 75. They've got chairs. They have musical instruments. They have sound system. They have screens. They have a kids ministry room. They have a nursery. They have an office. There's two restrooms. It's in a great location. Stuff like that doesn't just happen, folks. Now, we're looking at all the details of how this would work out and what the rent would be and all that kind of stuff. But I believe this is kind of where we're at with our Nixa daughter work. I believe God could be behind this, and so we're praying about it. I want you to be praying with me about all this, because the rent is more than what we're paying at the community center, okay? But this would be everything we'd need. We can start having Sunday school. We can have events during the week, youth events, all that kind of stuff. And so, but it's a mountain. It's going to take a little bit of money to do it. I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. If God started something, if this is the Lord, if he's opened the door, he's going to make a way for us to walk through it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I specifically felt tonight that God wants to challenge somebody in your finances. I believe, help my unbelief. Tithing is an act of faith and obedience. It's an act of faith and obedience. The tithe is the Lord's. It's holy unto the Lord. We don't want to be guilty of stealing from God, okay? When we give our tithe, the first fruits, the 10% of our increase, we're showing God that we have faith that he can take the 90% that's left and he can do more with that 90% than what we could have done with 100%. I've seen the Lord do it time and time and time again. Amen. I could not teach tithing if I did not practice tithing. I could not do that as a pastor. If tithing is an act of faith and obedience, offerings beyond the tithe are an act of faith and love. Tithing is just bringing to the Lord what's His. Okay? And tithing is, the tithe is the Lord's, okay? I'm returning to Him what's His. Offerings are something that we give by faith beyond just the tithe, what is the Lord's. And some people have never operated in faith because they don't put God first in their finances. Some people maybe have taken the first step in giving God the tithe, which is His, but they've never stepped out in faith beyond that to be faithful in offerings beyond the tithe. And I specifically felt this for tonight, that maybe you're a young person and you just got your first job, or maybe you don't have a lot of income and you're wondering. I want to encourage you, take a step of faith. Take a step of faith. Put God first in your finances. I've seen time and time and time again in my own finances and testimonies from others where God has made a way where there seems to be no other way. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me in closing tonight? We don't have to have any music tonight. We're just going to let the Lord work and open our hearts to what God wants to do. The father of this boy, with what some feel was epilepsy, the father was struggling with his faith. He had faith, but he also had unbelief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And just like Jesus pulled Peter up out of the water, and just like Jesus showed Thomas his hands and his side, Jesus honors this father's faith, even though his faith was struggling, and he set the boy free from the demon that was causing the seizures. I tell you, we can identify with this man. Help, I believe, but help my unbelief. We can identify with Peter. We can identify with Thomas. Sometimes our faith struggles. Sometimes our faith is weak. But realizing that and looking to Jesus tonight, it's what makes it possible for us to focus on faith over fear. If you're facing a load of doubt here tonight, you need to ask God for more faith. If you're looking at the mountain, you think there's no way. I've just got this little bit of faith, but this is a big mountain. You need to ask God, help me, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I feel like somebody here tonight just needs to be encouraged. I know that you've tried everything you know to try. I know that you've even prayed for a miracle. I know that you've been believing, but tonight it's just like your faith is struggling. I want to encourage you, don't give up. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. God is wanting to do great things, but we've got to let our faith overcome the unbelief. Tonight, there's no telling what God wants to start, what God wants to do, what God wants to finish even, because somebody's going to say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Amen. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen our faith. I pray that you would encourage our faith. I pray that you'd help us to lay down every bit of doubt, to lay down every bit of unbelief. God, I don't want to listen to the voice of the enemy that comes against me and is trying to steal my faith. But Lord, I want to trust in you. I pray, God, that you'd help my unbelief. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sharamando to socorro la bahaya. Lord, have your way in us. Work in us, Lord. God, move in us. You know who's struggling tonight. God, you see whose faith is weak right now. I pray, God, that you would help us. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I pray that you would do the work. I pray that you would pick me up. I pray that you would open the door. I pray that you would make a way. Hallelujah. I wonder if it's appropriate if you would take somebody by the hand or take your arm and put it around somebody and say, would you go to the altar with me? Maybe your faith is struggling, but I'm going to believe with you right now. I'm going to believe with you. I've got faith that I'm going to stretch with you right now. We're going to pray together for a miracle. Come on, would you come and believe with somebody else right now? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe tonight, Lord. Help my unbelief. Oh, God, I'm not giving up. My faith is just struggling a little bit right now. I pray that you'd help me, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd work. I pray that you'd move. I believe. Help my unbelief. In the name of Jesus.